Main menu.
A very warm welcome to ACB Radio's regular look at technology from a blindness perspective. This is Main Menu. Coming up on the programme this week...
Absolutely, whether it be CSUN or the ACB convention or wherever, we'd be more than happy to do that. We'd be glad to have one of our users sit down with the user of any other product and offer people a comparison.
It's the Battle of the Note Takers again. We hear from Jonathan Mosen, Blindness Product Marketing Manager with Humanware, who are now responding to the paper presented at this year's California State University Conference on Technology and Disability, claiming to provide a comparison between the Braille Note and the PacMate.
Today I would like to talk to you about a website that features software reviews from a blindness perspective.
And Jamie Pauls tells us about Access Watch, a new website providing assistive technology reviews from a blindness perspective. Sound familiar? It's all coming up this week on Main Menu. In March of this year, J.R. Westmoreland presented a paper to the California State University Conference on Technology and Disability. The paper, entitled PacMate or Braille Note, a Side-by-Side Comparison, has caused considerable controversy within the blindness Braille note-taking buying community. There has been confusion in some quarters as to whether or not this paper does in fact represent a fair and objective comparison. And in a market where a consumer's choice is severely limited, product costs are still extremely high, anyone claiming to offer a head-to-head comparison between two leading products is certainly going to receive a lot of attention. ACB Radio recorded and showcased this presentation as part of our CSUN coverage. And before we hear a comprehensive response from Jonathan Mosen, Blindness Product Marketing Manager with Humanware, let's just remind ourselves with a brief sample of the presentation in question.
Okay, the Braille Note has... From the main menu, you have the a media player, which both units have. You have the word processor, planner, email, internet browser, utilities, file utilities, and calculator. The media player is the difference you'll see is the way that the information is actually displayed to you. The PacMate is Windows Media, and so it has a feel just like you'd have at your desktop. It's allows you to create all of your playlists, to go out and search your disk for all possible media files. The Braille Note one actually has a feature that I actually found was kind of neat. It's their little sliding status bar that tells you how much of the media file has been played, and you can also tap a cursor button to jump to that location. The media player itself on the PacMate is using Windows Media. The one on the Braille Note with the 6.1 is now, I understand, using the underlevel libraries for Windows Media, especially on the PK, where it can now handle quite a number of additional files and file types. Also, the audio chips are quite a bit different. The standard Braille Note has a mono-only audio chip. The PK actually has a full stereo audio chip, and the PacMate itself has a full stereo audio chip. The actual chips on the PacMate, the audio output is really pretty good. I've played with it with MP3 files encoded at 320K, so you have very, very minimal artifacts, and it still gives you a very faithful reproduction. I haven't had a chance to actually sit down and play with it in great detail on the PK with this stereo. The internal speakers on pretty much all of the units are the Pac-Mate's a pretty nice speaker. The others are smaller, and you know you obviously have to give up something when you put a smaller speaker in a unit. Okay, a couple of quick notes that I noticed on the PK that were somewhat troubling to me is in the wireless manager, or the network manager, when you go in and put your cryptographic keys into the slots in there where you store your cryptographic keys, in Microsoft, those keys are actually obscured once you put them in, so that if somebody were to pick up your unit, they couldn't necessarily retrieve your cryptographic keys and therefore possibly violate security at wherever your network happened to be. The keys were not obscured in the PK when I played with it. That has a potential for the security gurus at various businesses may pitch a tizzy about that. The other thing that I noticed is that when you turn on the PK, when you turn on its Bluetooth, it comes up and becomes immediately discoverable, bondable, etc., rather than just going into a mode where it's bondable only. And that has potential for generating security leakage, although that I have not tested. It's just something that you might want to keep in the back of your mind. Okay, optional packages. There's a zillion optional packages that you can buy to go on your PacMate. Just about anything that will run on an iPac will run on your PacMate. There are obviously limitations based upon graphics and other such things that Pocket JAWS may have a hard time handling. The packages for the PacMate that you can buy for Pocket PC are fairly reasonable prices for software. They range anywhere from $5 or so on the low end up to about $80 to $100 or so in general on the top end, which was really quite surprising after having bought a lot of desktop software. You look at the price tags on those and they're quite expensive, and you look at the price tags for many pieces of specialized software that we as blind users have to pay for. They're quite expensive. So it was quite a wonderful surprise to be able to buy fairly inexpensive software. Okay, the both systems now come with can have purchased a GPS navigation system, and that seems to be the real hot thing. Everybody loves it. I've had a good time running around with it and playing with it. It acts as a very nice additional mobility navigation aid. The GPS for the Braille Note is a package that you buy from Pulse Data to go on your, or Humanware, to go on your, yeah, to go on your note taker. The package for the PacMate, you buy the Street Talk half of it from Freedom Scientific, and you obtain the actual Destinator package from the net, and you can get just a large number of receivers and basically purchase the Destinator package from wherever you want. There's a large number of maps and different sets of maps that you can buy for Destinator. The maps are using the Navtech map data, and I believe that Humanware's package also uses the Navtech map data. At least the I know that the VisuAid product does. One big difference that I found right up front was the cost of the two packages. Buying a full off-the-shelf package for your Braille Note is around, well, I think it's about $1,400, $1,395. And that includes a GPS receiver, maps for the U.S., Canada, and software. The GPS system from Freedom Scientific is just, it's under $500, and that number may vary a little bit depending on which GPS receiver you choose to buy and if you buy additional maps. The default set from Destinator is U.S. and Canada maps. It has the software, the Street Talk software that you buy from Freedom Scientific, and you also have to have a socket communications Bluetooth card for your PackMate. So the GPS unit or the GPS package itself is about around $250. It's about $80 or so for the Bluetooth card, depending on where you buy it. If you really go scrounging the net, you can sometimes get them as cheap as $55. The Street Talk package is, I think it was $160, Brad?
$120.
Okay, the Street Talk package is $120, and at that point, you're off and ready to go. There's a couple of very neat features that I really liked in the Street Talk package, one of which is doing breadcrumb routes. So you can start someplace and say, here, lay me down a trail of breadcrumbs, and you can kind of go wandering off out through the middle of the parks and wherever else you might want to go and have it lay down breadcrumbs. And you can attach voice notes to those breadcrumbs. So you might grab your PackMate and say, oh, this is the picnic bench where we're actually going to be, and later on you'll come up to some place at one of the points in your breadcrumb route and say, and here is the bathroom, the most important place, I got to remember this. And so whenever you approach one of those points, then it will actually pop up and play your voice note back to you in your own voice, so you can leave whatever smart aleck comment you want to yourself. The breadcrumbs and the other things that the neat thing that you can do with it is the kinds of information that you can select for generating a route. You can actually select, type in an address, and have it take you to that location. You can go to your contact list and say, okay, go get this address from my contact list and generate me a route from where I am to this entry in my contact list. The drawback there being, as part of Destinator, you have to make sure that the information in your contact list matches the mapping data. The other thing that you can do is go to POI, which is points of interest, and they're set out by categories, and there's gobs and gobs of things. I went to the Los Angeles map here and located myself at the Marriott and said, okay, let's just see fast food restaurants only. And it comes back and it says 608 items within a 10-mile radius. So that's a lot of McDonald's and whatever else might turn your crank for fast food. On to Bookshare. The PackMate now has a utility for allowing you to unpack Bookshare books, and it's built in on the Braille Note. The Bookshare utility from Freedom Scientific is a free download from their website for your PackMate. They both work pretty nice. They seem to unpack really well. And I've used them quite a bit for reading newspapers and other such things off of Bookshare. And obviously, if you want to do that, you have to be a member of Bookshare. FS Commander is a new package that will be fairly shortly available. It's a remote control, so you can, all of us who love couch potato-dom can go park ourselves on the couch, and you can have your PackMate in your lap, and you can say, okay, talk to my DVD player and my VCR and my television and my stereo system and my home theater and on and on and on. Any of the infrared devices that you've got around you that right now you walk around and growl at yourself because you walked off and laid your remote down and you can't find it. currently, there doesn't exist a database of known remotes, so you have to actually take your remote that matches the appliance that you're interested in, and you go into FS Commander and you teach it about the functions that you care about, and you can label them with keys and so on and so forth. It's kind of fun to play with. You can do some really neat things with it. And you can type in your own user labels for what you want it to display when you press the key, and also what you put a user label in for what remote it is. So you can say, you know, this is JR's VCR, or this is the kid's VCR. You know, if you happen to be one of those people that's got multiple VCRs in your house. Kind of fun. It works with most infrared devices, and you can send it from, you can actually sit about 30 feet away from your device and communicate quite nicely. Okay, now those of us who like to play and figure that, you know, we want to kill time when we're on a bus or the subway or the train or whatever mode of conveyance that we have to deal with, there's lots of fun games that you can add to the Pac-Mate and play with.
And you can hear that presentation in full from our website at www.acbradio.org. Visit the on-demand section and then visit the Marlena's CSUN Diary for 2005. Subsequent to Mr. Westmoreland's paper being presented at this year's CSUN conference, HumanWare committed to publishing a response in a timely manner. And in the interests of balance, Main Menu now brings you that response. Yesterday, I spoke with Jonathan Mosen, the Blindness Product Marketing Manager with HumanWare, the manufacturers of the BrailleNote and BrailleNote PK. I began by asking Jonathan to describe the concerns that he and HumanWare have about this paper.
Well, I think the real issue was that we weren't clear that the paper was actually from Freedom Scientific. When you look at the CSUN agenda, the paper was submitted by a PacMate user, but when people turned up to the presentation, it was clear that Freedom Scientific were playing quite a key role in the putting together of that paper. They were there handing out literature on disk. They were assisting with the setting up of the PowerPoint presentation, and it was clearly going to be, from the moment we walked in, a look at why a particular user bought a PacMate. And I don't have a difficulty with that. HumanWare doesn't have a difficulty with that at all. It's a relevant perspective to offer. I think the issue for us, though, was that the paper was structured and written in a very academic way that posed as objectivity. And we felt that there were a number of issues not appropriately canvassed in that paper that needed airing. And it's always difficult to know in this sort of situation, do you respond and draw attention to it, or do you just let it lie? But we had so many customers who had either been at the presentation or read the paper who were outraged, frankly, that we felt that we did owe it to the community to offer a response. So since we issued it, a number of people have come back and said, well, gee, this is very biased. Well, absolutely it is, because what we're doing is not trying to offer an objective comparison ourselves, but rather say, here are some issues that weren't dealt with in that initial paper that you may want to consider when making your purchasing decision. So we're trying to even up the balance somewhat with a few positives about the BrailleNote that weren't covered.
My impression is that it's this word comparison that really is angering a lot of people.
Well, I think that this is a competitive market, and I don't in any way hold any grudges against any company that chooses to market their products in the way that they feel will advantage them. I mean, that's what it's all about. I think, though, that we would have been more than happy to have had a presentation at CSUN where Freedom picked one of its users that it considers a competent power user of the product. We would have picked a user, not myself, but somebody who's not an employee, who is a power user of the product, and let them kind of discuss it and take questions from the audience. I think that would have been very informative. However, what we have is what we have, and we're quite comfortable about issuing a response to try and redress that balance if that's the kind of climate that we're now in.
Okay, so just to clarify then, you wouldn't support something like that, a Q&A session with power users of both products, then that's not something that you would now feel comfortable with in light of what's happened this year, or would you still be prepared for something like that to take place at CSUN 2006?
Absolutely, whether it be CSUN or the ACB convention or wherever, we'd be more than happy to do that. We have confidence in the fundamental soundness of the product, and when you look at the kind of people who use BrailleNote, clearly there are some highly skilled professional people as well as students who rely on this technology to get the job done, to get assignments in. Now we'd be glad to have one of our users sit down with the user of any other product and offer people a comparison. I would point people though to the recent series of articles in Access World. I don't agree with all of the findings of the Access World review of BrailleNote PK, and nor should I, because I'm the product manager and of course I'm not going to, but it was a fair and objective review, and if you look at the Access World reviews of the three PDAs that they looked at, they rated the BrailleNote PK overall as the best, and I think that they did a very thorough and objective analysis of those three devices.
I think really the question isn't which is the better product, it's which is the best product to suit an individual's needs. And so let's get into the substance then of the human wear response. Do you want to just talk us through the main points there?
Yeah, there's one fundamental main point that I want to cover, and this is what I guess I consider a bit of a cultural cringe in the blind community, and as a blind person myself, I'm somewhat fascinated by this, that people automatically jump to a conclusion that says that if a product is based on, quote, mainstream, unquote, technology, that somehow it's superior for blind people. Leaving for a moment the BrailleNote out of the mix, one of the products that I use on a very regular basis is Kurzweil 1000, and that is an OCR package that meets my needs as a blind person, because I do have quite distinct needs as opposed to the needs that sighted people have. For instance, I want to be able to read what I'm scanning as I scan a couple of pages ahead, and it's recognizing the page behind and all that kind of stuff. You can't do that kind of thing with an off-the-shelf OCR package. So in many walks of life, we, as blind people, I think, should have the confidence to acknowledge that our needs are unique and that therefore they have unique solutions. So what we did was we took Windows CE back in 2000, and we were the first company to offer access to Windows CE, and we built around that a user interface optimized for blind people in a lot of consultation with blind people, as a matter of fact. So on the one hand, you have a menu structure, which means that if you're not a zappy power user kind of person, you can navigate the menus and get help. And on the other, there are keystrokes that allow you to get to pretty much anywhere in the suite of applications within a maximum of two presses, and more often than not, one key press. So you've got the best of both worlds. Because we're using Windows CE as the operating system, there are some underlying components that we can hook into. For example, there are Internet Explorer browser components, there are wireless networking components, all of those things built into Windows CE. And what we do is we construct a user interface that's optimized for the efficiency of the blind user, as opposed to simply taking a user interface that was never designed for us in the first place and sort of retrofitting access over the top as an afterthought.
The original argument that somebody may prefer a so-called mainstream solution, albeit through a, you know, some sort of access software that's running over that anyway, a more sort of screen reader type solution. I think the original point there is that if you have developed skills on one platform, that those skills might be transferable. And of course, if you're an experienced Windows user, there is going to be a learning curve when you pick up a BrailleNote.
Well, the learning curve, I think, is fairly minimal given the context-sensitive help and the intuitive nature of the interface, just as Microsoft hope that Windows comes fairly naturally to a sighted person because it's graphical, then so we would hope that the user interface that has been designed specifically for blind people has a very minimal learning curve. But I guess I would consider myself a power Windows user without putting too fine a point on it. And yet, even before I worked for Humanware, I opted for a Braille Note and have been using a Braille Note since 2001. And I think the reason why I did that is that you have to look at what the objective is when you buy a piece of technology. And in the case of many people who use the Braille Note, the objective is to manage your fundamental piece of information, your documents, your contacts, your appointments, with maximum efficiency. I'm dealing with, you know, many appointments. My travel schedule takes me overseas on a regular basis. I have literally hundreds and hundreds of contacts in my address book. I need a device that will allow me to get at the information I want efficiently and without having to worry about, what is this control and how do I interact with it? If I press enter here, am I going to be popped out of the dialogue because it presses the OK button, or am I going to activate something else? So I don't want to have to worry about that when I'm dealing with mission critical information. And I think that's why the Braille Note became the market leader so quickly, because of the user interface.
Okay, and you didn't feel that argument was fairly represented in this so-called objective comparison. Okay, let's move on then. You've talked about the interface issues. What else really is in the Humanware response to the paper?
I think fundamentally that because we are working with a device that we've designed from the ground up for the customer base for which it was intended, we've been able to integrate features such as transparent handling of grade 2 Braille files. For example, on the Braille Note, you can write in your chosen grade of Braille and save the document, and it may be a grade 2 Braille file in our keyword format. At that point, if you want to send that document as an email, you don't have to worry about going into the document and back translating it to a grade 1 file or a computer Braille file. You can just go to the email client, and it will ask if you wish to attach a file to the message. And at that point, you can answer yes. And when you attach the document, the system is smart enough to say, hey, this is a grade 2 Braille file. And so this is going out as an email message, so we'll automatically back translate it. And all of that happens without you having to worry about it. And that's what a lot of people want. They don't want to have to hassle with the technical side of all of this. We can do that because our email client was written specifically for blind people. That's something that a client like Pocket Outlook just can't do because it's not designed for us.
Right, of course, it's designed for a sighted user, and clearly it's not going to have the Braille support. There was something in the response about document formatting, and maybe that touches on the point that you just made about a blind person's ability to produce a document that looks, you know, professionally formatted. And does that relates to this translation issue, does it?
Yes, it does in part, but also the ability to make one document in your preferred grade of Braille. So you can start off, I'm a grade 2 Braille user, been using it all my life. I can write the document, I can put heading styles, bolding, underlining, etc. And not only that, but I can also use Braille and print exclusions. So let's say I'm brailing an essay, and I'm going to, at the end of my essay, I'm going to have it embossed for my own records, and I'm going to have it printed for the lecturer to mark. So I can specify that when I print out the document, there are certain bits of text that I don't want to appear in the print copy, but I do want to appear in the Braille copy. For example, I might want to make a note to myself that at this point I should insert a graph and staple it into my essay to illustrate my point, and I can put that in the Braille copy, but it never appears in the print. All that is with one document, and that's the kind of power features that you wouldn't generally find on a PDA. But that because this technology is produced in such small volumes, you compare the amount, say, of Braille Notes or any device in this industry that are produced with the number of iPacks or whatever, it's just a fraction because of the user base. So they are going to be more expensive. That's just the nature of the business. Of Braille display technology is expensive too. So when you get a device like this, you really want to be able to have it do as much as possible, and so we've tried to ensure that with this technology that's the case. I think fundamentally what I would urge people to do is, if it's possible, to go to one of these conventions or conferences and get your hands on the product, or to read the reviews in publications like Access World, for example, where, you know, I think they're fair to all companies, then take a look and make a decision. And also, yeah, by all means, have a chat to the companies and to users. I think one of the points I would make is that we at Humanware do run our own email lists. We believe that's important. It's an important part of customer service, and we hear from users where we do well and sometimes we don't do so well. Just look at the products, the way that the companies are out there in the marketplace marketing their wares, and make an objective call as a result of that. And I do want to say also that I'm not completely discrediting this paper, because it's one user's very valuable perspective on why a Packmate was suitable for them, and I think that is an important contribution to the debate.
And of course, people can hear the original presentation from the Marlena Sisundari for 2005, and that's available on the ACB Radio website. And if people want a copy of the response, how do they get that, Jonathan?
We will be putting it on the Humanware website. We emailed it to a number of relevant email lists last week, and I think it's been forwarded on since then. If it isn't on the on the Humanware website by the time this airs, then by all means feel free to contact me at jonathan.mosen@humanware.com, and I'll be happy to forward a copy on.
Just before we recorded this, news reached me that one of your colleagues who would usually be available for technical support wasn't going to be. Important work, I think was the phrase used, and people were being asked to contact their original suppliers and distributors and dealers for technical support. Couldn't drop any hints there as to what that might be?
There is some significant development work going on at Humanware at the moment, and we have skilled tech support people in all of the subsidiaries of Humanware, and so that particular staff member has been freed up to do some verification work, and that's about all I can comment on at this point.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. If people want to get hold of you or join the brown note list or find out more about Humanware, could you just finish with your contact details? I'm sure people already have them.
Sure. My email address is jonathan.mosen@humanware.com, and if you wish to subscribe to the Braille Note discussion list, just send a blank message. We haven't quite fixed the domain yet after the merger, so it's braillenote-subscribe@list.pulsedata.com, and that will get you subscribed to the Braille Note discussion list.
Jonathan Mosen, Blindness Product Marketing Manager with Humanware. Thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure.
Hi, my name is Jamie Pauls. Today I would like to talk to you about a website that features software reviews from a blindness perspective. The site was designed by myself and by a good friend of mine, Tyson Treasure, who did all of the programming for the site. To get to this site, we need to type in a URL. We're going to type in http://www.accesswatch.info. This site is divided into headings, so I'm using JAWS version 6.1. So I'm going to press the letter H to move to the first heading.
Heading level 1, welcome to Access Watch.
And I'm going to press H again.
Heading level 2, software reviews.
You can, of course, peruse the site at your leisure later on. That is where the software reviews, obviously, are going to be located. At the top of the website, you can log in to a free account that you need to create when you visit the site to take full advantage of the features that are available. And it's, as I say, there's no obligation. It's totally free. Nothing. You won't get a lot of unsolicited emails. Nothing to worry about there. So go ahead and create the account. It's very simple, very straightforward. And you'll understand one of the reasons why you might want to do that here in just a second. I'm going to press the tab key.
Software reviews link.
To get to the software reviews link, obviously. Press enter.
Home visited link. 2 headings and 66 links. Visited link home. Visited link my account. Visited link system admin my.
Okay. Now, since I'm the system administrator, one of the things that is in my account options, since I am automatically logged in and I can tell my computer to, you know, or Internet Explorer to automatically log me in, of course, I have system administration rights, and you certainly won't see those. Let's just go down to the first heading.
Heading level 2, administrators, note colon.
Okay. A little note to the users of the site. We had some technical difficulties, and we were needing some assistance in troubleshooting, and I think we've about got that taken care of. I'm going to press the tab key.
Add a new program and select a review visited link.
If you want to add a brand new program, that would be the place to do it, right there. And I'm just going to go ahead and press enter here to show you what would happen.
Add a review, heading level 1, 1 heading and 6 links, heading level 1, add a review, title colon, edit example, title colon.
Through this entire process, we have given you examples to follow. So, for example, if you have any questions about how to add a title, I can't imagine why you would, but there are examples.
Add it.
So, I'm going to go to the top of the page, I'm going to hit the letter F in JAWS to get to the first form field.
Title colon edit.
If I wanted to give this program a title, I could call it, my program or whatever I wanted to name it. I'm going to press the tab key.
Version colon edit.
With the way we've designed the system, you need to supply a title and a version number. If you don't do that, the program will, or the site will prompt you to do so. So, for example, you wouldn't type Norton System Works 2004 in the title field. You'd type Norton System Works, press the tab key, and the version, you can type 2004. I'm going to press the tab key again.
Computer type colon edit 800 MHz Pentium 3 384 MB RAM.
That's already filled in for me, because one of the things that I am able to do, since I have an account with the site, is to go into my account options and set up a profile. And basically just fill in a lot of information that this site is going to require, as a matter of fact. What type of a computer do I have?
Operating system, colon, edit, Windows XP Home.
What operating system am I using?
Screen reader, colon, edit, JAWS for Windows 6.10.1006.
Once you have created your profile and entered this information in, even though it appears already filled in, if you need to change an aspect of your profile, you can do that on the fly. So if you're on a different computer, for example, a work computer or something like that, you can maybe just change a couple of things without having to submit all of the information fresh. Next field.
Rated colon combo box 1 to 5.
1 is the worst, 5 is the best. Press the tab key.
Review text edit.
This is where I can type the text of my review. I can hit the enter key a couple of times to make some nice paragraph formatting if I choose to do that. I can type full links, for example, http://www.acbradio.org would allow those who are reading the review to access that link easily. If you don't type the links correctly, they, of course, are not going to work properly. Sometimes the administrators of the site will be diligent enough to correct those errors for you, but not always. So it's important to try to go ahead and type a valid URL. And then, of course, you just type the text of your review, press the tab key.
Finish button.
And that's where you submit it. I'm going to back out of this.
Back. Please select a piece of software.
Now, please select a piece of software. If I press the tab key.
3D Snake version 2004 link.
3D Snake. This is just a list of everything that's already in the database.
7-zip version 3.13 link. Add Bashaware SE Personal. Adobe Reader version 7.0 link. AOL Instant Messenger Left Parent Audacity version 1. Audible Manager AVG Anti Add Cardful version 3.
Now I'm going to use my JAWS links command here.
JAWS.
I'm going to press the letter T.
TerraTerm Pro version 2.3.
Press it again.
The Bat version 3.0.1.33.
Again.
Tiny Spell version 1.3. Trend Micro Internet Security version 2005.
There we go. I'm going to press enter on this link.
Add a new review for Trend Micro Internet Security version 2005 visited link. 4 headings and 11 links. Visited link, add a new review for Trend.
that really one of the nice things about this site, of course, at the very top of the page, you can just add a new review if you wish to do so. But each review is separated by a heading level. So I'm going to press, I'll go to the top of the page,
review,
just to make sure I know where I am. I'll press the letter H.
Heading level 1 reviews for Trend Micro Internet Security version 2005 average rating :5 based on 3 reviews.
Okay, so 3 reviews so far have been entered. I'm going to arrow down.
Heading level 1 average rating :5 based on 3 reviews. Blank. Heading level 2 date February 22nd, 2005. Blank. User : Send mail link to VM with Adelphia.net.
So, as I just keep arrowing down, I'm reading this review. And, of course, you can use your reading commands, like say all mode or whatever. I don't mean that. I mean read all.
Computer : AF.
So I'm not going to keep arrowing down. I am going to go to a review that I have left for the program.
Heading level 2 date March 14th, 2005, 3:43:44 p.m.
Another press.
Heading level 2 date May 13th, 2005.
Okay, that's me.
Blank. User : Send mail link Jamie Pauls.
All right, if I keep pressing the down arrow key.
Computer : 8 on operating system : Windows screen reader : rated :5. Comments : at trial of the program which includes hard drive. Press a button to.
Okay.
Edit review link.
I press the tab key. On a review that I have submitted, at the bottom of that review, I have the option to edit my review. Now, of course, I can't edit someone else's review because obviously they don't want me to do that. But I can edit my own reviews, and of course, you can do the same. Anything that you have left on the site, you can go back and add to or change something. If you see that you've made an error and you need to fix a review, you can certainly do that. A fairly recent addition to the site is the ability to set up email alerts. When you first sign up for the account, you are automatically signed up to receive occasional, and I do stress the word occasional, emails from the administrative team, but you can actually opt out of those if you wish to. You can set the program up so that you can receive alerts when a new program is added to the database. You can set up alerts to receive alerts when, I should say emails, when a new review is added for a specific program. So I want to know any new reviews that come in that are related to PCCillin Internet Security 2005. I can tell the site to give me that information. Or I can just tell it to let me know when any new review is added, period. And then you can also do combinations of these alerts. So, for example, since I'm a system administrator, I want to know when any new review comes in, but I also want to know when any new programs are added. So I have it set up to tell me when new programs are added into the database, as well as when any new review of any program is submitted. We have tried to make the site very user-friendly. Lots of examples. Some email notifications when you submit a review, you receive a thank you for doing so. The idea behind this site, and I think I should just take a few seconds and just let you know what my vision is. We are all participants in mailing lists, and they're great, they're wonderful. But if you've ever tried to search through archives, you know that can be a real trick sometimes. I see this website as a growing site, something that's really can be vibrant, something that can be very dynamic, and there can be a lot of information stored that's rather easily retrieved. For example, as a user of the site, I read an article in PC World about Trend Micro Internet Security 2005. I was very interested in the program, and of course the same old question pops up in my mind: I wonder how accessible it is. Sounds like a really good program, something I'd like to use. It probably won't work. Well, I happened to remember that someone had reviewed the program on the site. So I went to the website, I found the review. Not only did I find one review, but I found two. One person was using JAWS, the other person was using WindowEyes. Both people rated the program at a 5. There were some handy setup tips for getting started. I chose to get the downloadable version, the demo, 30-day demo, and then purchased it online. I ran into some, not really difficulties, but just some quirks with getting the thing set up, so I wrote my own review. And then I added some tips of my own, some of the things that I had discovered that would make the program work a little easier. I wrote a review of MSN Instant Messenger version 7.1 or 7.0 with JAWS 6.1, and of course at this time, that receives a one-star rating because it's not accessible with JAWS. In the future, it will be. When it becomes accessible, I plan to submit another review if someone doesn't beat me to it, saying, hey, it now works. So we should be able to literally track a program and track the accessibility of a program. There are some questions that are going to arise as to what to do with multiple versions of a program. The site's about 6 months old, and we haven't really had to face those problems yet. We're looking into some solutions, perhaps moving some reviews to consolidate them into, you know, a later version. If someone writes a review that's just an introduction to a program and that wouldn't really be affected by the version number, then we may be able to consolidate. And it may be that someone would have an older version of a program on a computer that was given to them, and they need to know that, you know, version 5 of a program is accessible, but version 6 is not, or vice versa. So I'm really excited about the site. It's taking off. It's a little slower than I would like, but of course, you know, when you design something and you put it into action, you want to see immediate results. But we have about 60 reviews, I believe, on the site, and almost as many products, not quite. The AccessWatch team has decided to offer a little incentive to the person who submits the 100th review to the site. Now, that's not a program, necessarily. Not the 100th program, but the 100th review on the website. That person will receive a $10 gift certificate from Amazon.com. And we're looking at possibly doing some other similar promotional things of that nature. We are not sponsored by any organization. We're not affiliated with any company, so this is a free collaborative effort. I did not originate that term, but I think it's quite applicable and quite a good description of what we're up to here. So I would urge anyone who's interested to come by, check us out, sign up, get an account going, username, password is all you need. Read some reviews, and please don't hesitate to either submit reviews to existing programs, or if you have that little gem of a program out there, I am using a free FTP program, FileZilla, that was recommended on the site. I didn't want to pay for one. I was having some issues with Internet Explorer's FTP program. This little free FileZilla program seems to be working just fine for me. So I am not only a co-designer of this site, but I'm also a user, and I'm really finding it to be quite invaluable. If you have any questions, you can email me at jamiepauls, J-A-M-I-E-P-A-U-L-S, at sbcglobal.net. You can also contact the programmer of the program, the website rather, Tyson Treasure, that's Tyson, T-Y-S-O-N, 133, at hotmail.com. Thank you very much.
And thank you very much, Jamie, for telling us about AccessWatch. Well, that's pretty much it for Main Menu for another week. Thanks very much to all of you for tuning in. On behalf of all the Main Menu team, this is Dave Williams saying a sincere thanks for all your continued support. We very much appreciate that. And don't forget, of course, Main Menu is your technology show, and we certainly welcome your opinions and your submissions and questions, etc. So if you'd like to contact Main Menu, please do so. You can drop us a line to mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. And who knows, your item may be featured in a future program. Until next week, it's time for us to log off for now. So until next time, bye for now.